How do you judge success? Money? Accomplishments? Chad Cooper joins us next. His book is called Time Isn't the Problem, You Are. Four strategies to transform stress into success. That's going to be interesting next on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, Chad Cooper with us, a very successful businessman, motivational coach, community leader, an athlete, a philanthropist, an award-winning United States Marine, an information technology advisor for Microsoft, and just a few of the roles that Chad Cooper has played. Now, after retiring from Microsoft, he opened up his own coaching organization. Clients include corporate CEOs, entrepreneurs, an Olympic medalist as well, professional athletes. All of Cooper's accomplishments and accolades are the direct result of the philosophy for success that he created over a two-decade program of learning from the masters in the field of time management, psychology, education, faith, and that's what we're going to talk about for a couple hours here on Coast to Coast. Chad, welcome back to the show. Good to have you.
Good morning to you.
You have been very busy these days.
I have been very busy indeed.
What a varied background you have. How did it all lead into what you're doing now?
You know, that's a great question. I would say that it's a question that I was asked when I first retired at 35. And people had asked me and said, you know, how have you accomplished so much at such a young age? And, of course, my answer was very intelligent, very wise. It was, I don't know. And I reached 40, and in that, I don't know, turned into, have I peaked? I had done everything that I had set out to do in 40 years. And I really kind of freaked out. I really had a midlife crisis. And I said, I've at least got, God willing, 40, 50 more years in front of me here or more. I better figure out what got me those first 40 years of success. And so what I actually ended up having to do is break the formula down, work it backwards in order to figure it out first and foremost for myself, and then to be able to answer the question for friends and people that had been asking. And so what I actually was able to do was come up with a strategy for modern day, a proven system for today's world, because let's face it, the world's changed today. And I was able to put that down with the help of some very other talented individuals together and created a book as a result of it.
Now, at 35, when you retired, were you, like, so successful you didn't have to work anymore? Why'd you pick that age?
Well, that's a great question as well. Actually, my life has not always been a straight and easy path for me. While I have accomplished quite a bit in a short amount of time, when I first got married, I expected it to be forever. And we were together for 10 years, and when it ended, I actually felt like a total failure. I also expected that I would work in the corporate world forever. You see where I worked at one period, and that's where I retired from. But I worked my way up to executive and management positions, and after a certain point, I realized that corporate life was really no longer for me, and it was time for me to leave. And I had to ask myself, why would an executive walk away from title and money? You just don't do that today.
Right.
So my personal and professional life were really imploding one after another. And I was really forced to reinvent myself. And I got a second chance, and I wasn't going to waste that. So I decided what I wanted my life to look like and how I wanted to live on my terms. And I did that, and I created a life to me that feels legendary. I created a fulfilling new career. I became an Ironman major sponsored. I had 21 major sponsors, and I built an extraordinary marriage on top of that. So I now am in a position where I schedule as much vacation and as much as vacation as I desire, and I'm able to block my work in between, not the other way around. So most people, you know, they work and then they try to block in some vacation.
Sure.
So in contrast to those challenges, you know, I've accomplished over 900 massively or the most popular extraordinary experiences, what people might consider or call bucket list, before the age of 35 through this system. Now, it's been nearly a decade later, and my accomplishments have really compounded at even a higher rate than that because of key distinctions within the past several years. So it's really been my life's work, and it wasn't a journey that was always comfortable. And I think that being out of that comfort is really a blessing to us but we typically don't recognize that at the time.
Chad, would you say you were happy in those days?
I would. I would absolutely say I was happy, at least what I thought was happy. For me, it was, hey, I'm comparing myself. I can compare myself to others in society. And according to society, I was succeeding. You know, I had the right car. I had the right house. I was, you know, I was married. I was doing what I was told was expected and what I should be doing to be successful. And then I just checked in at some point and said, this is not working. And so when I really got truly honest with myself, what I actually realized is the big problem is that I wasn't living the lifestyle that I knew I was capable of having. And I think that many people can relate to that message. And as I said, I got a second chance. But really deeper than that was I was able to see the real problem. And that was that the life that I really wanted was passing me by. So I imploded it. I just walked away. I retired. Financially, I was able to afford to do that, be responsible, and still take care of my family. And so that's what allowed me to make that transition, is I really had the courage to take a look and be honest with myself, look myself in the mirror and say, you know, you're happy, but happy enough just doesn't cut it today.
Well, and everybody, Chad, everybody has their own definition of a lifestyle and a happiness. I mean, you could have a guy who wants to be able to go out and fish, or someone who wants to go bowling, or someone who wants to buy a yacht. But isn't lifestyle different for everybody?
And that's exactly the point. You're spot on with that. A legendary lifestyle is defined by you. It's really not defined by society. And I first realized that when I retired, my friends, who are dear, loved friends, kept challenging me. They're like, you're not retired, Chad. You're not out on the golf course. And I said, guys, wait a minute. Do you want to be out on the golf course? They're like, God, no. I hate golfing. I said, then why are you placing that on me? My definition of retirement is being able to live on my terms, be able to determine how much I want to work. And it's not a have to, it's a get to. And so I believe that lifestyle, when it becomes a get to experience, then we're all truly blessed. But most of us are walking around feeling like they have to go to work. They have to pay their mortgage, and they have to keep on trying to compete with the Joneses. But when we compare our lifestyle to society or to our neighbors, that comparison is really the thief of joy.
Gosh, I used to remember, Chad, back in the old days, my parents would talk about neighbors. And, you know, if somebody got a second car, that was pretty good in those days. All the neighbors talked about it. You know, so and so, they've got two cars now, and it was amazing how people tried to keep up with each other.
Not only that, but even more exclusive was a credit card. Credit card was not a common thing. And now, I mean, I crack up. I think a couple months ago, my son, who is just coming into teenage years, just got an application for a credit card. I'm going, really? Come on.
Yeah, they just sent them willy-nilly.
And that's really one of the things that, as a society, we need to recognize and appreciate, is that our world has changed. And the reality is what worked in the systems that worked in the 70s, the 80s, and even in the 90s are no longer the rules that apply today. We now live in a global society. You know, we used to work, our job used to be domestic competition. But now the competition is worldwide. It's no longer 9 to 5. You're on multiple time zones. You are global. We used to, if you had another car, you'd probably arrived. You probably had a pretty important position, which also meant you probably had an assistant or a secretary called back then. And today we have to manage multiple responsibilities just within our jobs alone. And we don't have a tool set today in modern ways to be able to equip ourselves. Credit cards are a great example. If we look at American savings right now, 63% of people do not have $500 that they can scrape together today for an emergency, according to Forbes. So we have to really recognize that two cars, you know, that's the expectation now. Having a single income is no longer something that is affordable. And so we need a system, not just any kind of system that's cobbled together from a bunch of collections that maybe you've read, but a proven system that allows you to actually balance and manage multiple responsibilities in a very successful way.
Chad, when you coach people, you're not quite a motivational speaker. You're more of a life coach, aren't you?
Thank you for that. Those that are in the industry, those that are regulated by the International Coaching Federation, that's the regulatory global body, really despise the word motivational speaker. And it's not that there's anything wrong with being motivational. You know, we all want to motivate and support people. But the challenge with that is that if you're motivating somebody, the moment that you walk away, they then go back to being deflated. They go back into their previous habits. And so professional life coaching, the difference there is, and the difference between that and therapy is that, and I respect therapy. I absolutely, you know, I've had my time on the couch. I have a degree in psychology, so I absolutely support it. But typically I look at therapy as you're going to somebody saying, hey, I'm the way I am because mom and dad fill in the blank. You're dealing with present tense to past tense. And professional life coaching is about transformation, present tense to future. You've come to a place in your life where you've accepted responsibility. And there's a huge difference between using a story as an excuse versus an explanation. And so if you're at a stage where you can use it as an explanation, I am the way I am because of the following, but it's no longer an excuse for my behavioral decisions, the way I act, then you're in a great place to transform and move forward in your life and really start capturing the dreams that, that you have in store for yourself. Does that make sense?
It does. Now, when you coach professional athletes, for example, what do they need to know? Why do you coach them?
Professional athletes, I'll give a great example. The most difficult athlete that I see out there. Now, this is my opinion. It's subjective, of course. But I would say Major League Baseball is a very difficult sport to thrive in. I mean, let's look at the statistics. 7 out of 10 times that you go up to do your job, you're going to fail. I mean, what other industry, maybe besides calling the weather, and of course now all the weathercasters hate me, but there's very little forgiveness if you did your job 7 out of 10 times and failed. And yet these are the best in the world. And so there's nothing in their skill set, in their talent, that I can support them or really tell them anything that they don't already know. Instead, it's really the mindset. And so when I work with professional athletes, whether it's a 8-time world champion boxer or Major League Baseball player, when they're up on the mound and they're throwing that ball, they're pitching, they have to be at the best of their game. And if mentally they're checked out because they're thinking, hey, my wife is back home diddling or having relations with somebody else, that split second, that lack of presence on the mound is going to cost them some points. So we can be physically present but mentally checked out. And life is really about that. How many of us actually show up physically but mentally we're gone? And, of course, I'm talking about in our personal relationships, right? We have a long day at work. We're worn out. We come home. And, yes, physically we're there, but mentally we're really not engaged with our family. And so professional athletes are a great example. They're a really positive coaching example of how we can actually help people perform at the peak of their game.
Tell me about the title of the book, Time Isn't the Problem, You Are.
Writing a book is a challenge for me. And I said I wanted to create something that was transformational. I wanted to create something that was really impactful, all the way down to the questions that are in there. And those questions are written in a very specific way. But I also said it's got to be fun. I mean, let's face it, we're dealing with a topic that can be heavy for people. We're dealing with an issue that is challenging for most people. And so I said, it's got to be fun. It has to be a message that people are uplifted by, that people feel, hey, I can do this. And so it started with the title. And I looked at it and said, you know, if you can't recognize that you are the problem, then you're not ready for this book. But the great part is if you're the problem, it means you're also the prescription. You're also the solution for it. And so it's about transforming the stress into success. And you hold the key to that victory. So it just was one of these things that we're having fun, and we just came on it, and people went, you can't use that. That is way too in your face. And I said, lighten up. Let's just have fun with it. And it's really been very catchy.
How many people chatter in denial about certain things?
About 97% of the world.
Yeah, I would guess that too. They are. They're in denial about what is success. They're in denial about their relationships. They're in denial about themselves. How do you change that?
Well, the first step just like in AA, is admitting that you have a problem. And the great equalizer, the reason that I wrote this book, and there is in here the fourth leg to the stool, is the rule of 168. And that is just really to look at, why is it that Bill Gates, Oprah Winfrey, Sir Richard Branson as examples, how is it that they can run multi-billion dollar companies, do travel and charity around the world, philanthropy, and yet they can actually have an enriched family life and personal life as well? And the reality is we have to accept, you know, and get out of denial and realize that the great equalizer is that we only have 168 hours a week, no more, no less. It's the equivalent of 1 week's worth of time. And so it doesn't matter what our background is, what our economic means are, our gender, or any other item, we all have no more, no less than that amount of time. It's how we spend it that separates the boys from the men, the women from the girls. And so it's really about first looking at, how am I setting up my week by week by week? You know, we've been brainwashed that we have January 1st. We got to set our New Year's resolutions. And
I've always wondered about that.
Accomplish in a year.
Always, always have questioned it. Why do you have to wait until the first of the year for this resolution? Why don't you start right now?
Exactly. And so I started looking at behaviors, and Hallmark is a great example. We have our Hallmark holidays, and they're a reminder to say, hey, you need to express your love to somebody. Hey, we have this event around the corner. And I went, I don't subscribe to that. I do go out and buy cards. I do out and go do those things, but I don't wait for Hallmark or a card or a holiday to tell me I should express that love to somebody. Instead, I look at it and I say, when would be a good time for me to actually do that? When would now be a good time, as one of my former mentors would say? And so I actually schedule the experiences that I want to have. Now, that's the key word in that, is the experiences, not a bunch of to-dos. So anybody who has, as an example, a calendar, and I would challenge anybody to say they don't have a calendar.
I love calendars.
Whether you have one in your head or you have one on a computer, you're subscribing to some kind of schedule.
And I'm still old school, Chad. I've got to have a calendar and write on it.
And I love having those. And so when you have one on paper, we can even enhance those today with colored highlighters or markers.
That's right.
Or colored pens.
And it's easier for me to look at a calendar that you've written on and kind of look at the whole month or the whole couple months in advance. Just to schedule, you know, what you're going to do in your time and everything else. Well, stay with us, Chad. We're going to take a quick break, then we're going to come back and chat more about your work. Time isn't the problem. And one of my questions, do you go to people to help them, or do they come to you? We'll be back. Okay, welcome back to Coast to Coast. Our special guest, Chad Cooper, talking about his work, Time Isn't the Problem. That's his book, You Are. And Chad, do you go to people to help them, or they come to you?
I've had the very fortunate privilege as a life coach to not have to advertise. All of my work was previously word of mouth referrals, and so people would come to me. I can't say that is the common path in the industry, but it has been my successful path. And it's not until really the last year that I have decided to make myself available to more people in a different manner. And so I've just been very, very fortunate with the results that I create, that I have a constant request and list of people wanting to get onto my roster.
What are they looking for, Chad? What do they want?
They're looking for the ability to start living their dreams. They're really looking for clarity. So many people today are wanting to have a sense of purpose, and they're really about having a relationship with themselves. And so that's really where I begin with people, is to help them take a look at what are the four areas of your life, how are those doing? And when I say four areas, typically in coaching, we help people with four quadrants. They're physical. Their opposite of that would be then their logical, or their emotional being the third. And then the fourth, where I specialize and where I actually come in, is in the spiritual. And so it's really about taking a look and saying, how are all of those balancing? Maybe in the Far East, we'd call that the yin and the yang, or the yin and the yang. But it's really about saying, you know, do you have one area doing very well, and maybe the others are plates that are starting to fall and might crash? So we just kind of take a look and see what their foundation is, and take a look at where they are and where they want to go, and close that gap so that they can actually get to their objective and celebrate with people.
And when you hit these four areas for most people, do you find that people are deficient in one of them, two of them? How many?
Well, I have a specialization in relationship coaching, because I found that about 80%, maybe even more, of my clients were suffering in some way with their relationships, whether they were in one and it was no longer passionate, or they were in one and they wanted to get out of one, or they weren't in one and they were looking for a relationship. So I find that the majority of my clients are looking to see, how do I communicate well with other people? How do I have an intimate relationship with people that's not just feeling like I'm a roommate, that we just kind of check in with each other, but it really has that passion that it started out with? And so that's one of the areas that I have found that I specialize in. But I also coach a number of Olympians. And one of the patterns that I saw, that I call the Apollo Moon Syndrome, is many Olympians, as we have the Olympics going on right now, is prime example, mm-hmm. is they are so integrated, so driven into win-win-win, that the majority that I've coached will come out of it saying, I never even got to enjoy the experience. I was so busy trying to place and go for that gold that I forgot to celebrate. I forgot to enjoy it. Then, of course, they're rushed off to shows and interviews, and then it's over. And so if we look at their age, most Olympians are in their older teens or in their 20s, and they've peaked. And so they have this identity that they've worked on for decades, and now that's typically over. And so they're really suffering from an identity crisis. And I find that the majority of people in the world are really in the same position. We're so busy trying to win, trying to keep up, that we forget to enjoy the journey. And so I help people look at the meaning that they're giving to things and be very specific about the language that they're using, and be able to celebrate along the path. It's really not about the destination. It's really about the journey along the way.
Sometimes the journey, and I would say, Chad, most of the time, the journey is more exciting than actually attaining the goal. Does that make sense?
I would absolutely agree with that. Yes. I've done the endurance sports. I've done marathons and Ironmans. And if I was all about just the finish line, that would be a lot of disappointment probably. So it's really about being able to enjoy the journey along the way. It's really about being able to say, what can I embrace? What can I look forward to in a workout, as an example? Maybe you're doing it in CrossFit today is a great example. There's a cult-like atmosphere for the sport CrossFit. And the reason is because it's about the journey. You go and meet with a group of people that you can say, hey, you're like me. And they are living to a higher standard. So there's a brotherhood of supporting each other, regardless of your gender, to say just one more rep. And then there's a piece and an element in there about contributing beyond yourself. So it's really a great culture. It's not about just being self-serving, but also at times servant leading. And so they will do charities to support a family member that is part of that gym, and be able to, you know, maybe support Alzheimer's for a loved one, mm-hmm. or spina bifida for a person. So that's really where people are looking to go. And that's an example of how that can be successful. And that's really the same thing with our lives. If we're just about material gain and forget about the contribution beyond ourselves, we're really missing out on the journey.
How important, in terms of getting control of this, is it for people? Because are they under a lot of stress generally, most people?
Well, let's look at some recent examples.
Okay.
Relatively recent examples are Robin Williams, Philip Seymour
Hoffman. Sad story.
Here are two individuals, tragic endings. They had it all, George. They had fame. They had the financial independence. They had the material wealth that they were in things that they were looking for. They had loved family members. Yet, they weren't fulfilled.
No.
And so it really is not just about the material part, right? We are spiritual beings living in a 3D world. And so it's about an and conversation. And that's really where I've been spending a lot of time with people, is it's not about an or, material or spiritual. It's about an and. Why is it that we, you know, why can't we have material and spiritual fulfillment at the same time? It is possible. But it means that you have to be courageous enough to say, I deserve it, I can have it, and I'm going to be not just persistent, but consistent in my habits to be able to manifest and be able to create that.
Well, you even look at things like John Belushi from Way Gone Back. I mean, the guy was going to be so successful. I mean, he was already successful, but I mean, he was going to be...
Everybody loved him.
Yeah, he was great. I mean, do they have demons in them?
Well, it depends on your perspective. And I know with your listenership, some people would be like, right on, and some people would question. But, you know, you can look at this from an astrology point of view, and an astrologist would look at that and say they could see it in the cards. They could see the signs that they were under a great amount of stress, whether that's Jim Belushi, because you can go back and actually look at...
You mean John?
Their path.
John Belushi, Jim's his brother.
I'm sorry, John. Sorry, Jim.
Jim's still ticking.
Jim's still ticking. So John Belushi or Robin Williams, when you looked at that, there were number of indications that they were crying for help. And we can look at that and say, you can actually change that. You can make an adjustment if you choose to. And that's really what it comes down to. Is some people would say, oh, it's predestiny. Some people who believe in astrology, as an example, would say, well, this is the path you're going down. But we can enjoy that path, and we can also recognize that there are struggles and that we can ask for help. And I think that's really where it starts. And Jim didn't do that.
John.
Robin Williams didn't do that. And so it's really about having the courage to say, hey, I need help. And we live in a society today, George, that really doesn't support that, right? If you have to take medication, if you go see a therapist, you're considered something's wrong. And the truth is no, you're human, you're normal, and there's nothing wrong. You were designed and built to be exactly this way.
But it goes to show you, Chad, that money doesn't give you the barometer of what successful is. As a matter of fact, I've seen more people with money that are so screwed up, you can't imagine. And you see it too, I'm sure, every day.
Absolutely. I have the privilege of working with billionaires. And I can tell you that I interview my clients as much as they are interviewing me before I take them on. And I have seen, and I don't take on those that's all that they're seeking. You know, if their goal is just simply I'm trying to win through bling or the car I have or the title of my position, they're going to be very unhappy at some point. I've seen janitors as an example that are incredible family members, and they've chosen their profession to serve in that capacity because that's what they excel in that way, and it gives them the balance to be able to do other areas of their life exceptionally well. And so if it's just about material, that's a formula for a lot of hardship down the road.
Chad, how important is spirituality or religion in this mix?
That is the chapter that I did not want to write. I initially looked at it and said, you know, who am I? There's theologians that have argued over this for hundreds, if not thousands, of years now. Who am I to put my hat into the ring and give my opinion. And yet, it really drove me nuts. And it's actually one of the chapters that I believe is the heart of the book. And I don't believe that you can be a masterful coach. I don't believe that you can actually thrive and be fulfilled in life without acknowledging the spiritual. And so it really is an attempt at going in and challenging some of society's beliefs about, you know, man and woman, masculine versus feminine, about material and spiritual being aligned at the same time. And I don't believe that you can actually be truly fulfilled until you actually are able to align with your spiritual nature. So in simple terms, what that means is being able to marry or integrate your innate gifts. These are the gifts that you're born with. These are the things that God gave you, and then our learned talents. But the reality is that society is going to typically reward you for your learned talents and not necessarily your innate talents. And the trick is to be able to integrate both of them so that you don't have a job. You don't even have a career, but yet you're actually serving your calling. That's when the two of them come together. And that's when we really are fulfilled. That's where we're lit up, and that's where our spiritual allows us to say, I'm serving my mission, I'm free in the pursuit of that, and I'm doing it from a place of love.
Would you say that
the juice of life lights up?
Would you say that the 4 points that you've just mentioned are the key to success, or just the beginning of trying to be successful?
Well, I think that they are markers or measurements, just like a map. If we want to, you know, let's pull out, if we're going to go old school on our childhoods here, we have these things called a map, and no longer GPS, right?
Right.
If we pull out a map, there's three things that we need in order for that map to be useful. And many people forget the third piece. Well, the first, of course, is we know that we need to know, to understand where you are, right? If we go to a mall, there's a big red circle on the map that says you are here. And so, of course, we need that piece. The second people would guess is we need to know where you want to go. What's our destination? But the third that we miss is the scale of measurement. And mission, freedom, and love are part of those measurements to say, how far have I journeyed? So if I'm going from point A to point B, but I don't know how to measure it, like our speed or which highway I'm on, we can get lost and off track. And that is the challenge with many people, is they don't take the time to create that map. And so we can ask ourselves, you know, is this my work to do? Is what I'm about to experience something that allows me to say I'm serving my mission, or that it's an adventure? And then second is, am I doing this freely, or am I feeling imprisoned, right? Well, I have to go do my job. Well, there's no freedom in that. And then the third is, and we can look at the presidential election, you know, if we want to get into that area, but the third is love. And when we do our mission freely, but we lack the element or the quality of love, then we can come up short. We can have moments of happiness, but we're really not truly fulfilled.
Trying to get people to live this legendary lifestyle, is it really an effort to just try to get people to be happy?
It's a choice. It really isn't an effort. It's a decision. We can look at it, and I was just working with one of my clients recently who, for probably since 2011, actually, so what, 5 years, had been planning his exit strategy from the world of career.
All right.
And wanted to build his dream home up north and be able to have his wife retire, and they were bringing all this plan together. Well, after 5 years of being diligent and consistent, he made it happen. Now, he was focusing on, oh, you know, we're challenged with where all these things need to go. We're downsizing for the moment because the house is being built. And, you know, my wife is bringing all of these items, bringing all these things in, and we just have no room. And I went, wait a minute. What are you focusing on? Look back 5 years ago. This was a dream. This was something that you went, you know, I don't know if it's possible. And today, you've won. Today, you have succeeded. So just go back to your wife and say, none of this matters. Let's go outside. Let's celebrate. Let's acknowledge that we just claimed victory on our dream. And so what we choose to focus on is going to shape the meaning and the emotions that we experience. And so really, if you want to live a legendary life, it starts with the meaning that you're giving to it. You have to decide to be happy, to have gratitude.
Can you decide if you know the wherewithal of somebody, an individual, without even meeting them, can you decide if they're successful or not?
I can tell whether they are focused in wanting to move towards their goals or whether they're using their current environment or past as an excuse that's preventing them.
I mean, like, for example, is Bill Gates successful? I mean, he's wealthy, but is he successful?
Well, I think by society standards that we would judge him as being successful. But the reality is I think that that is a decision for his family and for himself. The real question is Bill Gates able to get up, look himself in the mirror, and be able to say, I love you, and have no squeamish, you know, oh, I don't mean it, or not be able to look at himself in the eye. It's really about our ability to define what that means for ourselves, not for society to judge us. Because from the outside, we think we see it all, but we all know, and I've had the privilege of working with some big celebrities, some billionaires out there. And the reality is they have very similar issues. They have the same challenges that we do. They just have some extra zeros in their bank account.
Right.
And so it's really up to us to decide what, you know, are we living up to our own standards? Are we able to look in the mirror and say, today I'm going to experience my mission, and I'm going to do it freely from a place of love? That, I think, is really the litmus test to say, yes, I'm winning. I'm enjoying the journey.
How important is attitude to the success of this?
Well, attitude positive is critical. Yeah, attitude is critical. I mean, let's look at the Olympics again as the most recent example. Is we have Michael Phelps. You know, everybody in the world, I think, at this point knows that he has won, I don't even know how many gold medals.
A zillion.
25 or something.
20 plus, easy, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I don't even know how he wears that around his neck at this point. So let me ask you, who came in second place? Who got silver?
Nobody remembers who comes in second.
So the meaning that we give to that, this person could go, I am the second fastest, the second best in the world right now, and celebrate that.
You know what? It's the same with poor Buzz Aldrin, second man on the moon. I mean, we know it because we're space people here. But a lot of people, if you said, who's the second man on the moon, they wouldn't know. Chad, we're going to take a break, and then we'll come back and chat more with you and take some phone calls.